Hello, and welcome to Genesee Valley Church's online service. Our theme for this year is Plus One, which encourages us to invite someone to join us in worship and fellowship. Our mission statement is simple. It's loving God, loving people, and loving life. We hope that this message will serve as a source of inspiration and encouragement for you. Each episode, we will explore different aspects of our faith, share stories of hope and healing, and discuss ways we can make a positive impact in our community and the world. So whether you're a longtime member of our church or just tuning in for the first time, we welcome you to join us on this journey. Let's make 2023 a year of growth, both for ourselves and for those around us. Thanks for listening. Here we go.
Oh my, I tell you what, I love getting into the Word. I was talking with a minister friend of mine. He pastors, and he's been pastoring about the same length of time that I had. And he was telling me, he says, yeah, he says, you know, you've been thinking about retiring? And I'm like, retiring? He's like, well, you know, I'm just looking at, you know, we've been in ministry for, you know, all these years. And he said, you know, I'm just starting to think about retirement. And I'm like, no, I said, I guess I should start thinking, you know, looking ahead. But I said, I'll never retire. You know, I'll always be preaching something. You know, I don't know if I'll slow down at the church or, you know, hand the church off to somebody, but, you know, I'll always be preaching. And then he said, yeah, he said, I just been thinking about, you know, retirement. He says, you know, and man, he said, you know, just like, I'm just kind of getting tired every week, man. I got to prepare a message. You know, is this the grind of preparing a message, you know? And I thought, dear God, man, you need to go drive a taxi cab or something, because, you know, I love preaching and teaching the Word. I mean, it's what gives me purpose to be able to love you, to love God, and to share the Word of God, and to see the light bulb click with you. I mean, when the light comes on and you're like, oh, I get it. I see it. I mean, that just lights me up, because again, it's the Word of God that changes our life. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let me just ask you this real quick as we get started. How many of you like to go out to eat? Any of you like to go out to eat? Some of the women say, yes, I don't have to cook. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, some of us like to go out to eat, you know, and so I'm just going to give you a heads up in regards to the title of our message today. And it's simply called this, Open Tab. Amen. Just open tab. Wouldn't it be nice just to go someplace where the tab is open and you don't have to worry about anything? Well, listen, every once in a while that happens, you know, when somebody takes you out to dinner and they just say, you know, we're going to bless you. You know, don't worry, you know, whatever you want. It's like, wow, open tab, baby. You know what I mean? But you're always you. You want to be respectful of them, you know, that take you out. But, you know, just a few weeks ago, Terry and Matt, you know, they're attend the church here. In fact, just had a brand new baby. Praise the Lord. Just a cutie pie. They'll be here next week. But they took us, my wife and I, out to dinner a few weeks back. And Matt said, you know, hey, listen, we just want to take you out to dinner. You know, let's go downtown Detroit, and we want to take you to like a nice place up in the Renaissance Center, you know, and it would just be top notch, you know, five-star type restaurant. I said, listen, bud, I said, I'm good with Arby's, man. You don't have to take us, you know, nowhere special. No, let's do it up big, you know, let's go. So we went downtown Detroit, and we go into the Renaissance Center, and man, it's this, I mean, this is some swanky, you know, I mean, it's just a bougie kind of place, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like you walk in there, and you know, I had khakis on, and I walked in feeling underdressed. I'm like, wow, you know, you sit down, they put the napkin across your lap, and you know, there's 25 spoons and knives and forks, like, which one do I, you know? And it was just amazing. You know, and we're sitting on the River of Detroit looking across, you know, my wife being from Oklahoma, never being out of the country. I said to her, I said, that's Canada right there. She goes, that's Canada? I said, that's Canada. You mean that's another country right there? And I'm like, yeah, right there, baby. I mean, that is another country. It's not even the United States. And so we're sitting there eating dinner, and everything in this kind of restaurant, you know, it's a la carte. You know, there's not the meal package. It's like you buy this and then you buy that and then you buy, you know, and so it was just awesome. And so then Matt, he says, well, come on, let's get some appetizers. I'm like, listen, I'm good, man. I said, you know, I don't need appetizers. And he says, no, listen, I've been reading and hearing about their lobster corn dogs. I said, lobster corn dogs? He says, yeah, let's get some lobster corn dogs. And you know, you think, what in the world is a lobster corn dog? It's a lobster tail cut in half, put on a skewer, and deep fried. I mean, you talk about a bougie corn dog, man. I'll tell you, it was a lobster corn dog. And so anyways, just in talking about that, you know, going to a restaurant and just experiencing a new, you know, it's not something that you do every day, but boy, isn't it nice to kind of experience a different environment, to be pampered and just kind of feel like, man, I'm just special. You know what I'm saying? And so I asked you the question, do you like to go out to eat? And a lot of you said you do. Now, maybe for some of us, you know, when you think about going out to eat, you might think about it in margin, meaning, you know, I like to go out to eat, but you know, to go out to eat, it's expensive, right? And so you're thinking about going out to eat and you do it with some moderation because you just know the cost or the expense of going out to eat. Or maybe if you're somebody that goes out to eat, you know, there's those restaurants and then there's these restaurants. You know, these are the restaurants that we tend to go to because it kind of meets our budget. You know, we go over there and it's just a little bit more than what we want to spend. Once again, you're conscious of the cost when you're going out to eat. Anybody know what I'm saying? Or you go out to eat and you know that you're spending the money on the food and you're thinking, I'm stuffed, but man, I paid good money for this. You know what I mean? And so I'm going to eat it because I paid for it, right? Once again, you're conscious of the cost. Or what about this? You go out to the restaurant, you know, and there's portions of the menu. Like there's this portion of the menu, you know, it's the soup and the salad. And then there's the appetizers, and then there's the sandwiches, and then there's the meals, and then there's this page over here. We don't even look on that side of the page. We stay over here, you know what I mean? Because you're conscious of the cost or the expense. Come on, are you tracking with what I'm saying? I mean, my kids, my son, you know, my son is getting of the age now where he's eating like a man. And so we'll go to the restaurant, and he says, Dad, do I have to eat off the kids' menu? I said, boy, you got 6 months left and you're eating off that kid's menu as long as you're old enough to eat off. Why? Because you're conscious of the cost or you're thinking it's cheaper to eat from the kid's meal than to eat from the adult meal. Everybody understand? You make her eat off the kid meal? I get you. I understand. I've seen her eat, so I understand, you know. Wow. I didn't say that out loud. No, come on. Anyways. So is everybody tracking with what I'm saying? Right? There's a consciousness of how much something eats. So listen, with that train of thinking or with that line of thinking, let's go to Psalms 23, starting in verse 5. Notice what it says here. The writer of the psalm is speaking of God, and he says this. He says, you have prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And then the latter part of that scripture, it says, and my cup runs over. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And at this table, my cup runs over. I find it interesting in the way that the writer wrote that because he says, you prepare a table for me. So how many of you understand that just because the table is prepared, it doesn't necessarily mean that you sit down at the table, right? I said it just because he prepares the table does not mean that you necessarily sit at the table. But then in addition to that, it says that he prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. So once again, that also gives us this picture that there is a lot of stuff going on, that there is a battle that is going on, that there is opposition, and that there is somebody that is attacking or coming against me. And in the midst of all the chaos, all the noise, all the confusion, it says that God prepares a table for me. Well, God has prepared a table for each of us. And so I want to encourage you to sit down at the table. Amen. Let's learn how to sit at the table. But now think about this. Why are so many of us so reluctant or slow to sit down at that table? Oftentimes, I believe it's because of how the attacks of the enemy comes to each and every one of us. And the reality of how the enemy attacks you and I, he doesn't come at us with, you know, bombs and airplanes and armies. He comes at us covertly. And he comes at us through all the lies and the suggestions and all the would have, could have scenarios. He's constantly talking. I said he's constantly talking. Again, thinking of my kids. I love my kids. My son is at that age where he's just that inquisitive kid right now. You know, we're having conversation and he's right there. It's like, why are you right there? Because I just wanted to talk to you, Dad. And so you're sitting there and you're trying to watch the football and he's right there and he's wanting to talk. And he's wanting to talk and he wants to ask a question and he just wants, hey, Dad, you know, I put this Lego together and listen, I put this character with this character and he just wants to talk. And there's a time where you're just like, would you just shut up? You know what I mean? And you don't say that because you want to invite the conversation. But my point is this, is that all the chatter. Listen, you got to get to the place where you're just telling the enemy, shut up. Because he is constantly talking. That is how he gets us from sitting at the table. For instance, he's always strategizing to set a trap for you. The reason that, or the way that he's constantly strategizing to set a trap for you is through his constant talking. As I said, he's always talking trash. You realize that he don't talk to you about the goodness of God. He talks about, well, you know, you were praying and God didn't quite answer it like you wanted to or when you wanted to, or you're still waiting on God. He's constantly talking trash, right? He's always distorting the truth. He's always putting the spotlight on you. As I said, he never puts the spotlight on God. He's always putting the spotlight on you, either in a negative sense or a positive sense. He's always, again, pointing out the mistakes. He's always there to help you feel inferior, inadequate, or unwanted. And if he can't win at that game, then he'll work on your ego and your pride and say, boy, you're just all that in a bag of chips, right? He's constantly talking, and through the strategy of his conversation and much talking, he gets you to a place where you start to parrot what he says. And listen, I don't know if you're like me. Does anybody suffer with this syndrome of negative self-talk? Right? You always hear negative conversations. You always think critically. You always think negatively. I mean, you walk by the mirror and you're like, you know, you look in the mirror and you're just flat out defeated. Like, dear God, I've been working on this thing for the last 6 months and I still look as pudgy as I did. You know, he just works on you nonstop. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And listen, if you have that negative self-talk that has become habitual with you, listen, it might have been started The pump might have been primed maybe through your influences, maybe through your family life, whatever the case might be. But listen, if that is a constant voice in your life where you're constantly negative about yourself or about life or whatever the case might be, then you have had help from the enemy and the enemy has strategized to get you to side in with him and say what he says. Are you here this morning? Is anybody identifying some things? As I said, if he can't get you on the negative side, he'll start to talk to you on the other side and work on your pride. You know, you don't need help. You don't need them. That church don't understand you. That church don't appreciate you. Oh, you know what? You don't need that woman. You don't need that man. Well, there's this other cute thing over here that just has kind of got your attention. They'll appreciate you more. Oh, yeah, you know, you're just all that. And he can get you in the ditch on the other side. But once again, not only that, not only does he work on that setting of the trap through all the negative conversation concerning you, have you also noticed that he starts working on other people in your life? Well, look at them. They should do, could do. They should do better. Or he does this. He says, well, look at where they're at. Look at how they're living. Oh, you know them. They're just a bunch of phonies and fakes. Right? They all look so churchy, but I know the real them. I know what they're really like. What's he doing? He's trying to get you to be critical and criticize other people in your life. And what's he really trying to do? He's trying to suck you into a game of comparison. Either comparison, thinking you don't have it as well as they do, and God has really blessed them, and look at how bummed out you are. Or he'll begin to criticize to the point where he'll make you feel self-inflated or better about them. He'll constantly get you into this game, or bait you into this game of comparison to somebody else. And man, isn't that a dangerous game? I mean, because if you're not careful, how many of you know you can find yourself talking about people all the time? And every time you talk about somebody, it's never positive. It's never like, Melissa ate like a bird. She just is so dainty. Only see her eat salad. No, on the other hand, you get critical. She eats so much, you know. I'm guilty of it. I got sucked into it. I couldn't help it, you know. You're getting the point. He will cite, or he will get to the point where he talks to the point where he'll get you to compare. He'll get you to look at the lack. Get you to feel sorry for yourself. And it's all with the intent so that you don't recognize that there has been a table prepared for you. Not waiting to be prepared. There is a table that has already been set and is prepared in the presence of your enemies. So the question is, have you sat down at the table? Because on the table is a menu. And this menu, you're not limited just to stick to the salads and the sandwiches. There's an open tab. And the menu just needs to be chosen. It needs to be picked. Amen? Look at what it says here. In Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 8. It says, for everyone who asks, receives. Let me just pause there for a moment and just draw your attention. For everyone who asks, receives. Let that just resonate. For everyone who asks, receives. Have you been a little bit slow in your receiving? Maybe you've been a little bit slow in your asking. Because everyone who asks receives. And it says, and he who seeks will find. He who knocks, it will be open. Or what man is there among you who, if his son, now listen to these words. Remember, we talked about the restaurant, a table being set. If his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, just natural fathers, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Praise God. What's he saying? He says, you being evil, that you're not even a child of God. You have not walked with God. But you being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give you if you ask? Well, you got to set to the table or set up to the table in order to get to the place to ask. And you got to be at the table in order to receive. But like I said, the enemy has gotten so good at the nonstop talk that we've gotten caught up in the chaos of life and have either gotten up from the table or have not sat down. How many of you know that there are a lot of people that were raised in church? They had a relationship with God at one time. But throughout their life, through the hardships of life, bad relationships, bad choices, whatever it may have been, they once walked with God, but they got up from the table. And you look at their life and you're thinking, why did you ever get up? You know different. I know you. There's been a time where I saw God working in your life. Why did you ever get up from the table? He says, your Father will give to those who ask. Well, the question is are you ready to receive? Amen? Well, think about it from the natural. I don't know about your household, but my household is, there's never any, there's no politeness about it, you know. Hey, Mom, what are you making for supper today? No, it's just you walk in the room, what's to eat? What you making? Right? The kids just know. It's dinner time, there ought to be food on the table. Or Mom ought to be making something, right? And now, I grew up in the household where, you know, when it came to dinner time, Mom made the dinner. And if you were hungry, you ate what was on the table. You know what I mean? There was no menu at Mom's place. It was, this is what we're eating. If you don't like it, you don't have to eat it. I don't know that I've ever shared this publicly. And I don't mean to embarrass my mom. But I'm just telling you, there was this one time. You know, moms like to experiment from time to time. And so she found this recipe of meatloaf. And somehow this meatloaf recipe said to put bananas in the meatloaf. And so we're sitting there eating meatloaf. And I'm like, this kind of tastes like bananas. And Mom's like, yeah. Just like, sure. And Dad's like, no, really. And she's like, yes, I put bananas in the meatloaf. Listen, we all missed dinner that day, okay? Just saying. So, well, once again, you ate what was on the table or you didn't eat. But now my wife likes to accommodate the kids. And I like, just cook the food. Don't ask them what they want. Just cook the food. But she likes to be accommodating, you know. And so, like, if you go into our house, I mean, our house is filled with stuff that the kids like. I mean, you can go over to the pantry and there's the barbecue chips or the whatever they are. But anyways, that's the one girl. She likes those barbecue chips or those kind of chips. You know, if you go over to this child, this, you know, she's got this stored away because that's what that kid likes. You go into the refrigerator. You know, back when I was growing up, you know, you had tubs of ice cream. This one child, she likes the little specialty Chinese, I don't know what you call those things. They're little round dough balls and there's ice cream on the inside. I mean, you pay $27 for six of them. Not really, but you know, it's just, but she makes sure that she's got her special ice creams. What am I talking about? I'm talking about a mom that likes to accommodate her children, right? If they ask, she wants to bless them and give them what their appetite or desire is, or to be a blessing to her kids. If your children ask for bread, will you give them a stone? If they ask for a fish, will you give them a serpent? How much more your heavenly Father gives you the things that you ask. But the thing that you must ask from is ask what's on the menu. Come on, say it with me. I'm going to ask from the menu. Amen. Now, I mentioned banana meatloaf. Sorry, Mom, didn't mean to throw you under the bus, but, you know. Anyways, speaking of meatloaf, my wife makes a mean meatloaf. I mean, everybody loves Mom's meatloaf. If Mom's making meatloaf, everybody's excited. And I mean, I've never had meatloaf for breakfast, but it's so good, man. You fry that up, man. Make a meatloaf egg sandwich. Ooh, I'm telling you what, man. But everybody loves meatloaf. And so when Mom's making meatloaf and the kids are all getting excited, oh, Mom's making meatloaf. Woo-hoo-hoo, it's meatloaf night. What do you think that does for Mom? Do you think she's like, man, I'm so taken advantage of. You so take me for granted. I mean, this meatloaf, you just act like it just comes with no effort. No, when the kids are excited about the meatloaf, that does something to mom because it shows that what she's providing, they're desiring, right? And so she does it, and therefore it amplifies the love that she's putting into it because everybody's wanting the meatloaf mom is making. But then when they finish the first helping and they come back for more, do you think mom is saying, "What are you doing? I mean, there are kids starving in Africa, and you're coming and asking for another piece of meatloaf?" No, she don't berate them. She says, "Oh, let me get you another piece of meatloaf." Why? Because their desire to have more of what she prepared, it just amplifies her heart of serving, right? They like my meatloaf, and I want to just give them more. Is anybody tracking with what I'm talking about? So in regards to God, God says, "I've prepared a table and I've set it for you or before you in the presence of your enemy. But on that table, there's a menu." What's on God's menu? Here's some particulars. In Romans chapter 14, starting in verse 17, it says this: "For the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." God says on his menu is righteousness, peace, and joy. Man, I'm telling you what, some of you just need to pull up to the table today and get some peace and get some joy. Amen. So on the menu, he says there's some appetizers. Here's what's on the appetizer list: righteousness. What's righteousness? Righteousness is your right standing with God. In other words, God, through the form of Jesus, or I should say Jesus, took our imperfections, our mistakes, our failures. He took it upon himself and became unrighteous for you and me so that we could become the righteousness of God. Amen. So what that means is when I sit down at the table, God doesn't say, "Hey, wait a minute now. Before we start having something to eat here and before you start making requests of me, we need to get some things squared away." No, when we sit down at the table, he don't see you. He don't see your mistakes. He sees what Jesus did in your place. And therefore, the Bible says that it was credited to your account for righteousness' sake. What does that mean? There is an open tab of righteousness. When you sit down at the table, God sees you just like he sees Jesus. He sees you faultless, and he sees you worthy to be sitting at that table. Woo! Come on, somebody. What a great appetizer. Because if I begin to understand that the first course of this meal gets me in a position of right standing where I can actually receive and ask of God. Oh, yeah. Why can I ask of God? Because he said, "Oh, now the main course is a whole lot of peace." Oh, come on. All you have to do is ask. Remember, I said the enemy is good at talking trash. And there is a lot of people that have been under so much weight, trouble on every side. It just seems like disaster, turmoil, problems in relationships, money issues, health problems. I just need some peace. I need peace of mind. And he says, that's what's on the menu. He said, it's righteousness, peace. Come on, get some peace. It's on the menu. Do you want some peace today? Have you been carrying the weight for too long? Has the enemy been putting the spotlight on you to where you have felt the burden? God says, it's time for some peace. Will you ask me for some? There's an open tab. But then he goes on to say, we're not done there. He says, there's the last course of the meal, which is dessert. And he says, now what's for dessert is a big bowl of joy. Oh, come on. It's joy. It's joy. You can have a countenance about you in the midst of being in the presence of your enemy. You can walk with such a countenance of joy and peace and comfort. Praise God. It don't matter what the storms of life look like, because I am pulling up to the table and I'm taking off the menu whatever's available. Come on. How many of you are ready to step into that place of righteousness and actually receiving it? How many of you are ready to receive peace this morning? In fact, some of you might say, I'm just fine. I've been good. I don't even know what you're talking about. Listen, if that's where you're at right now, where you're thinking, everything's good in my life, I don't have a want, I don't have a desire, then you just might be in more trouble than you think you are, because you think you're okay by yourself. And wherever you think you are, there's more of what God has to offer. There's a peace that you don't even understand. There's a joy that you, oh my goodness. Praise the Lord. If you experience this kind of joy, you might come to church and they just might say, that person just likes to get ugly for Jesus. You know what I mean? Amen. Come on, say it with me. Say, I want some joy. All right, look at what it says here in James chapter 1. You doing okay? James chapter 1, starting in verse 4. It says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. What does that mean? That you've sat at the table. There's a word for it called satiated, meaning you push away from the table and it's just like, I'm so full, I couldn't eat another bite. Oh, I'm so full right now, I just couldn't eat one more bite. He says, being entire, wanting nothing. Verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and unbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. Notice what it says, let him ask. What is your asking? I'm ordering off the menu. I said it blesses mom when they say, I can't wait for meatloaf. Do you realize that God gets happy when you ask? Oh, we've been told, oh, don't ask for those big things, or don't bother God about the small things, or don't be too big-minded and ask for all these things. No, it blesses God when you ask him. And then not only does it bless him when you ask him, it says it blesses him to give it to you liberally. He's not wanting just to give you a little bit of peace to get you through the hard time. He wants to overflow you to where your cup runneth over, to where you have so much peace that it spills over on somebody else. And they're like, dear God, I love being around you, because when I get around you, the whole room feels so peaceful. I don't want to go home. I just want to hang out with you because I feel so good when I'm around you. Because God gives it to you liberally. When it comes to joy, if you're not used to having joy, if you're not used to smiling, if you're not used to laughing, listen, you need to get a whole big cup of joy. And it blesses God for you to ask him. And once again, it blesses him to do it liberally. Amen. Oh, he so desires for you to get beyond yourself. Amen. One guy said it this way. He said, man, I just like hearing this kind of preaching, but I'm almost scared to let it go. He said, I'm afraid that if I was to let go, he said, I'd just lose my mind. The minister said to him, well, if you knew how little you had to lose, you'd go ahead and let it go. Amen. Come on. God wants us to just let go and just get happy and allow joy to fill us up. Amen. And then lastly, stand up with me, will you? It says that he gives it to us so that we want nothing. And he says that it unbraideth not. What that means is God don't scold you. You may have been used to being scolded for asking. Don't you know how much things cost? Quit asking me. Didn't you already have one course of meal? Or didn't you already have that meatloaf? Don't ask again. What are you thinking? I bought you new pants last year. They're up to your knees. Just wear them as shorts now. Don't ask me again. You may have been, or you may have felt that it was wrong to ask of God. God does not scold you for asking. It blesses him for you to ask him. And so, if you feel like the enemy has been running rampant in your life, in your marriage, in your money, in your mind, in your walk with God, then let's just sit down at the table. And let's take out the menu. And let's not worry about where we're picking or asking from, because there's an open tab. You might say, well, yeah, but you know, on that side of the menu, it's quite costly on that side. And Jesus says, yeah, I already paid it in full. I went to the cross, so the bill's paid. Come on and ask, and you'll receive. Amen. I'm going to pray over you this morning. And if you're here and you're saying, I sure needed to hear that, because I need some righteousness renewal. I need some peace in my mind, in my marriage. I need some joy in my life. Then listen, right now as I pray over you, you just put your order in. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we're able to come right now and sit down at the table. Oh no, it's not the table off in the corner. It's not the one by the bathroom. No, it's the choice table. It's the best table in the room. And you openly escort us to sit at that place. So God, we confidently sit in our place that you've made available for us. And we take on that righteousness because we are worthy to sit here. And we refuse to listen to the talk and the chatter because we are worthy to sit here because of you. And God, right now, we ask you to give us a full course of peace. Oh God, give us enough on our plate so that we're not wanting for more. Or that we feel like it was skimped on. No, we ask for a full course of peace right now. Peace that passes understanding. That floods our heart, our minds, our soul, our entire being. And we thank you that that peace spills over into our marriage, into our homes, into our families. Just because it is so full in us. And God, we also thank you for that dessert, the icing on the cake. Oh God, we are worthy to receive that portion as well. So God, we ask you to give us the chef's choice, the best pick, the top cut, the best of the best portion of joy. Right now, God, we ask you to fill us and overflow us with joy in Jesus' mighty name. And say this with me, I receive in Jesus' name, amen.
And with that, we come to the end of this episode. We hope that you have found inspiration and encouragement in our discussion today, and we invite you to join us again next week. Let's make 2023 a year of growth and love by sharing the message of our church with others. We encourage you to take the Plus One Challenge this week and invite someone to join you at our next worship service. You can get more information about our church and say hi to us anytime from our website or social media, all online at gvchurch.tv. Thanks for listening. We are Genesee Valley Church, loving God, loving people, and loving life.